It's important for us to watch those places where the enemy can slip into our midst. Because when he slips in, the first thing he wants to do is cause confusion, to cause disunity, to have us fighting amongst ourselves so that we are not telling other people about Jesus. Put our differences aside. Come together for the common cause of letting others know what Christ has done.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Well, there's a comical anecdote by stand-up comedian Elmo Phillips. He compares two individuals on a bridge. One contemplating jumping, the other attempts to discourage. The discourager inquires of the jumper, "What faith are you?" To which the jumper responds, "Christian." The discourager states, "Me too." The jumper reveals that he's Protestant. The discourager states, "Me too." The discourager then asks, "What denomination are you?" "Baptist," the jumper responded. "Me too," exclaimed the discourager. "Southern or northern?" The jumper replies, "Northern." Then the discourager says, "Same here. Are you conservative or liberal?" The jumper responds, "Northern Conservative Baptist." The discourager says, "Likewise. Are you part of the Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or the Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?" The jumper responds, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region." "I am too," responds the discourager. "Are you part of the Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or the Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. The jumper answers, "The Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. The discourager then shoves the jumper off the bridge and shouts, "Perish, heretic." I don't know if I should be alarmed by the laughter or not. But, you know, so many times, especially in church settings, we find disunity, and it can be over some of the dumbest little things. When in reality, if we're truly blood-bought children of God, aren't we all striving for the same goal? To let other people know about that salvation can be found only in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that there can be some big theological difference in different places, but for the majority of us, especially in the same body of believers, aren't we working for the same cause to see other people come to the salvation that we know? Hopefully that's all of our goal. If we're here for any other reason, then we need to examine our hearts as to why we're here. Hopefully we all want to see other people come to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, knowing what he has done for us and wanting that same goodness in the lives of others as well. You know, in the early church, we find one of the things that helped that church grow and take off was unity. And so I want to think about that aspect of early church growth, because guess what? It's the same for us today. Unity is just as important for us today in 2024 as it was in the first century. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17. And then because we have some tender ears in the audience, I'm going to jump to verse 21 through 26. In your devotion time this week, I encourage you, look at that entire passage. But what you might share with your family at home is between you and your family. And I just want to make sure we protect young ears from questions that you may not want to answer later on today. So, Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 12, it reads like this. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among and was allotted his share in this ministry." Skipping to verse 21. "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, being from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness of his resurrection." And they put forth two, Joseph, called Barabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, grateful for your word. And I pray that as we read your word today, that we will be able to take away new life application from it. Father, that we can apply to our own Christian walks, living out your word daily. And Father, I thank you that you hear us and that you answer us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So a couple of things really jump out at me with this passage of scripture. First, that there is unity in their numbers. Now, think about it. There's 120 people at this first prayer meeting of the early church. Jesus has just ascended. They have gone back to have this prayer session, and there's 120 people in this meeting. Now, first and foremost, understand, whenever you have that great of a number, the enemy seems to like to come in and do the thing that the enemy likes to do the best. Cause division, cause dysfunction and disunity. But thankfully, that's not happening here. I don't know if it's just the shock that Jesus has just ascended, or if it's the fact that these people truly care and love about each other so much that they're willing to set differences aside to be in unity about the common good of telling others about Jesus, about what he has done for them, and the importance of knowing Jesus. But the Bible says they all joined together constantly in prayer. This wasn't just a one-time thing. This was something that the early church did constantly. And thankfully, Satan didn't get in the way of this. Because when you have that many people, oftentimes the enemy comes in and causes confusion. And that's just what the enemy likes to do. But thankfully, the enemy didn't do that. It's important for us to watch those places where the enemy can slip into our midst. Because when he slips in, the first thing he wants to do is cause confusion, to cause disunity, to have us fighting amongst ourselves so that we are not telling other people about Jesus. When we come together, put our differences aside, come together for the common cause of letting others know what Christ has done for us and that Christ will do the same for them, our enemy hates that more than anything. So my encouragement to you is, even in numbers, no matter how few or how great, that we come together in a common cause, and that's to tell others about the good news, the gospel message, that Jesus has come to save and seek that which is lost. The second thing that I noticed here is this. There is unity even in rank, if you want to even call it that. Think about it. Jesus' mother and brothers could have come together and said, hey, we knew Jesus in a whole different way than the rest of you, so therefore we should have special seats and we should have special plaques and we should be treated differently. But we don't see that. They're right there with the others praying in unity, unified together. You know, John could have stood up and said, hey, look, I was the only one that stood with Jesus. Of all the disciples, I was the only one that stood with Jesus, even at the crucifixion. Therefore, I should be the leader going forward. Someone could have stood up and said, hey, look, Peter denied Jesus not just once, but three times. That disqualifies him for any service from here going forward. But the early church didn't do that. They were all in unity together. Peter stood up and led, and that's what Christ said he would do even before he denied him. Christ had restored Peter. So here's the thing. They're all going together. Rank, if you will, doesn't matter to them. The fact that some were Jesus' family, the fact that some were closer apostles than others, doesn't matter in this setting. They're all coming together, unified, praying for a common cause. And it should be the same for us today. Truly, I believe that they trusted one another. As they placed their faith in Christ, they trusted one another to lead in the jobs that Christ had appointed them which to lead. So my final thought is this. Just as much as unity was foundational to the early church, unity is foundational to our current church. And not just Honey Creek, New Providence, but the greater church of God. Because hopefully we're all working together for that same common good, to point other people to Jesus Christ. Understand, not just one person could ever carry out the Great Commission in and of themselves. Just like not just one church could ever carry out the Great Commission all by themselves. We would burn out quickly. But thankfully, because there are multitudes of Christians and multitudes of churches, we can each fervently be doing the work that God has called us to do. Imagine if we went out and tried to feed the hungry, just our church, all over the world. We would burn out trying to do that. But because there are church fellowships all over the world, we can be connected with those through Christ Jesus, all doing our part, feeding the hungry in our area, and more people are being fed and served because of that. We can pray not just for one another, but we can pray for other church bodies.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.